First John, if you'll turn to it, please. First John. First John is a book written to Christians, and it deals significantly with God's love. And we're going to look at several verses tonight having to do with God's love. Let me pray to start. Father in heaven, we do desire for your Spirit to lead us during the study, and we pray that it will be not only informative to us, but it will help us, dear Father, in our Christian walk and in being like the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. First of all, we're looking at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love is shown to us here in its highest form, and that is of laying down a life. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we know and understand the love of God? How do you perceive the love of God? You do it in that he sent his son and he died on the cross. That's how you perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. It isn't just that he died, but he died for us. Now, to those of us who are faithful in coming to church, who read our Bible, who study, and so on, that is not anything new to us. Okay? I was going to say that is not anything astounding, but it is. It is astounding. It may not be astounding to us in the sense that we've heard it before and we have become well aware of it, okay? But it is astounding in what God did for us. Because he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Who laid down his life for us? God did. So is Jesus God? According to this verse, he is. Because it was Jesus who died. And the verse says, the love of God. So frequently when you read of God, you picture the Father. And many times that would be who was depicted. But in this situation, he's making it very clear to us that the one who died is the God who gave his life, Jesus Christ. Because he laid down his life for us. And that gives us an example. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, were we to be called upon to die for another, I believe this verse would give us the basis to do that. But I was going to say 9 out of 10 times, but not even, you know, you have to be a greater percentage than that. We're not going to have to lay down our lives in the sense of dying for another. But there are other ways to lay down our life. One of the themes that I toyed with teaching tonight, but did not have as much time as what I'd like to get it ready, and therefore it'll come at another time. But that is, in reading for it, don't think about elephants. Yeah, that's a catchy title, isn't it? Don't think about elephants. And that is, sometimes some things happen, and we're not supposed to focus on the negative thing that happened to us. And when somebody else does something that we feel we have been wronged in, or it hasn't gone as good as it should have on our behalf, okay, then we'll dwell on that. And the idea is, don't think about elephants. Of course, if you, somebody tells you, now don't think about elephants, guess what you're going to think about?
Yeah.
Elephants. All right. And so, you know, to simply say, well, somebody did you wrong. Well, don't think about that. Well, that's the only thing you're going to think about. And so that message will develop in how we deal with that sort of thing in that kind of situation. And when he says here, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, there's times where things come into play. Have you ever been on a committee? And let's put five people on this committee. Again, I'm making up the illustration so I can make it to prove what I want it to. We're going to put five people on this committee. And three of them, and even sometimes a fourth one, takes this view and this action that they want to do. And then there's just one or two others who think they ought to do it this way. And so there's all kinds of discussion back and forth. Well, you've got to make it. Some things you can't do. Many things can be done different ways, but you've got to pick a way to do something. Okay? And so if you're on a committee and three or four of them pick A this way and only one or two pick this way, now these one or two don't think about elephants. Don't dwell on that. You see? Because it's going to be lay down your life for the brethren. You know, we're not asking you to die in this committee. We're just asking you to let majority rule, okay? Or after all the discussions that's being done, then we're going to pick a way, and this is the way, and so the others can lay down their life for the brethren. They can set aside their view of the thing. And maybe their view's the right one. Now that doesn't mean, well, yeah, wait and see, and then when it goes my way, I can tell them I told you so. No, that isn't the way we're going to go with this. That's often the way it goes, but that's not the way it should go. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's love. You know, it's easy to say we love each other. But let a boy and a girl, let's make them 18, 19 years old. Okay, we got a boy and a girl here. And the guy says, I love you. But he doesn't do things that show love. Okay? She ought to have some serious questions about this guy. Or the reverse, okay? Maybe she says, I love you, and then doesn't live that. Listen, the way we show that we love is to lay down our lives for the other person. To let the other person, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Yeah. Now, that's not easy. As a matter of fact, that's downright hard. Especially if from one's experiences, they know that what they're saying is likely the better way. But what's more important, getting our way or the harmony of the brethren? There's hardly a business meeting that I've ever been at or in, but what prayer is made, and Lord, give us harmony, give us unity, at least until it's time for the vote. And you see? And so all this talk about love just doesn't make the grade if we don't follow the example, and that is to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, now look at chapter 4 and verse 9. Because we see love reveals itself in chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this was manifested, revealed. How did God reveal his love toward us? He sent Jesus Christ into the world so that we can live through him, through Christ. And so love, you see, is revealed. We said the highest form of love is to die for another. And the lowest stoop of love, okay, is that we give ourselves for others. But then we move to verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So love is made known through the grace that is shown to us. Herein is love. It isn't because we loved him. Okay, as a matter of fact, just the opposite is told to us in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And that's grace, where God loved us. He loved us when we were unlovely. Oh, a whole lot of people have trouble, bottom line, really picturing themselves as unlovely. Well, yeah, I'm not the best of persons, but I'm not the worst either. Okay? Whenever that clarifying thought comes in, got to stop before that. Okay? Yeah, well, I've done some pretty bad things, but, well, I've never been that bad. And all those, you know, clarifiers, disclaimers that come in. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation, to pay the price for our sins. The greatest sacrifice that could be made, back in verse 16 of chapter 3, is that God laid down his life for us. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So now we see God the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ. But we know that Jesus Christ is God. We not only know that because we've been taught it, we know it because verse 16 says it. The love of God. He laid down his life for us. And that's the greatest sacrifice that could be made, that God would die for us. I mean, I can't get my mind around that. Okay? I mean, I can't really grasp. I mean, I know that actually, factually, but not emotionally.
Yeah, amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's true, but just imagine that God died for us.
Amen.
That's awesome. You know, we're not really that bad, are we? Are we? Are we really that bad? Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, we know we're that bad. And even the best among us still has that sinful heart. It's that sinful heart. That's what caused him to die. See, if we have to look at our individual lifestyle and lives, some of us are going to come out pretty high on the scale. Brother Dale's given us his testimony. It's the only reason I call on him. Let me tell you how wicked I was, Dale. I smoked cigarettes. I never inhaled, though. See, I'm like Clinton. But I smoked cigarettes for a space of probably about 2 years. Yeah, my friends and I, we used to go and we'd sneak on people's back porches and they'd have their empty cases of beer there and we'd pull out the empty bottles and we'd drink with them. They didn't have R-rated movies back then, so I didn't go to them. I threw crap some, but I couldn't understand it, so I'd lose more money, you know. Yeah, and that's pretty wicked, isn't it? No. I see if Amy's face. And we, like I said, we've heard Dale's testimony. Pastor told us about some of his past life. And others of you know where you were. So you see, I'm really not too bad, am I? Uh-huh. Yeah, really, you know, I didn't do all the things Dale did. I don't have hate printed on my knuckles. In fact, I don't have anything printed on me. Except for my bunny rabbit. That's my birthmark. But that's a bunny rabbit. He's standing up like this. See his feet coming out the front? See his head, his little nose, and his ears here? And back here's his tail. That's the closest thing I come to a tattoo. I'm a pretty good kid. Yeah. I didn't do a bunch of wicked stuff. But Jesus still had to die for me, didn't he?
That's right.
Because the problem isn't what I did outwardly. Oh, and I'm not going to talk to you about what went on in the head.
Amen.
I'm not going. I'm not going there. You've got enough trouble with your head. You don't need my head either. Also, okay, and that's a whole different story. But you see the point I'm trying to make? Jesus had to die for us because we are all in sin, regardless of how it demonstrated itself outwardly or didn't demonstrate itself outwardly. The problem is the condition of my inner man. And that's what caused me to do what sin I did. Be it a little or a lot, doesn't matter. And yet I'm afraid there are too many people who were brought up in a good home, maybe brought up in the church, or as one person said, I was drug up in the church. Okay? In other words, they had a moral life. But moral does not mean sin-free. The greatest sacrifice God made was when he died on the cross for my sin.
Amen.
You've heard it said already, I'm sure, that even if I were the only sinner, Jesus would have had to die. Because he was the only way out. And we're going to look at verse 16. We're still in chapter 4, verse 16. Love is given to us, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is somewhat cyclical, or in a circle. God loved us first. He loved us. Now we can love him. If we love him, now he loves us. And we're, you know, he says, we're kept in the hollow of his hand. Here's one of the ways. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Well, I dwelleth in God. I dwelleth in love, and therefore in God. But I only do that because he did it first for me. Verse 19, I love him because he first loved me. It is powerful, the love of God. one of my favorite songs. We did not sing it tonight. One of my favorite songs, however, is The Love of God.
Amen.
Oh, love of God, how
Amen.
Rich, how pure,
Amen.
How measureless. And that I especially like the verse that it is purported that it was taken, the words were taken off of an insane asylum wall that says, if the ocean were filled with ink, it could not, and every stalk, a quill, you could not write all of the love of God. Father in heaven, we need so much for your Spirit to work in us and to